It is time for Scriptures for America Worldwide with Pastor Peter J. Peters. All around the world, from the United States to Canada, Europe, Russia, South Africa, Australia, the Holy Spirit is stirring the hearts of godly Christians. The Bible says, quote, as an eagle stirreth up his nest, end quote. We invite you to stay tuned as Pastor Peter J. Peters shines the mighty light of the gospel on the source of our problems and the only solution. Please keep Scriptures for America in your prayers. And now, Pastor Peters.
When it comes to prayer, I want you to know we've already prayed for this broadcast. And now I want you to know behind this broadcast is a motivating scripture, and I want to read it. It says, for this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all these things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. End the quote. Now, I want those of you out there to know that it says in the Word that we are not to participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but we are to expose them. And that's what we are going to do in this broadcast. When I say we, I've got myself and one of my Radio Ranch Wranglers here with me, Jeff Milton. Good evening, Jeff.
Good evening, Pastor.
And we have hooked up on the phone line, a long ways away, a man that's been anointing in Washington, D.C., and studying the deeds of darkness being done out there since, well, it appears since the layout of the whole outfit. Isn't that the way you would see it, Adam?
Yes, it would. And good evening, Pastor Peters, and good evening, Jeff, and good evening to your audience.
Well, we appreciate you taking time, and I want you to take all the time you want, even if we have to go to another broadcast. But I want you to tell us what you found out there. I want you to relate even the story of the assassination between JFK and Lincoln. That's in itself quite intriguing. There's so much you've got to say. I'm going to stop saying and let you take the reins and write. So go ahead and start teaching, will you?
Well, okay, I'll go ahead and start off with the similarities between the Lincoln and the Kennedy assassinations, if you would like me to go ahead and do that.
Yes.
There's quite a lot of similarities. Kennedy had a secretary named Lincoln. Lincoln had a secretary named Kennedy. Kennedy was shot in a Ford Lincoln. Lincoln was shot in Ford's Theater. Both presidents were shot in the head on a Friday while seated next to their wives. Both assassins had 15 lettered names. Both assassins were killed shortly after the assassinations. The births of Oswald and Booth were separated by 100 years. Lee Harvey Oswald was born in 1939. John Wilkes Booth was born in 1839. Both assassinated presidents were succeeded by vice presidents named Johnson. Andrew Johnson was born in 1808, and Lyndon Johnson was born in 1908. And both assassinated presidents are linked in death by the Arlington Memorial Bridge. If you look at a map of Washington, D.C., and you find the Lincoln Memorial, and you draw a line straight across Arlington National or the Arlington Bridge, you'll come right into the Kennedy grave marker. So not only were they linked in life, they linked them in death, so that energy that was expended when they were killed is still downloaded today through the whole complex of symbolism within the Washington, D.C., District of Columbia area. We had talked about the heptagon last time, and I have a little more information on the heptagon, what that is. The heptagon is a symbol that's used. Timing is a prerequisite in casting a spell. The position of the planets, the day of the week, the hour of the day, and certain plants are also very important in casting of a spell. And those plants correlate to the day of the week, to a certain planet, and to each point.
Now, Adam, I'm going to interrupt you here, if I may, as
sure.
we go on this interview. And I just want us to take time. There's no rush in this thing.
Okay.
I want you to remember that though we did have an interview some time back, there are so many that don't remember or never heard it. So we don't want to leave any of that information out. But I want to give this information to my listening audience that they will understand something. If you read the Word of God, there's so many out there of you that say you believe the Bible is the Word of God, but you really don't believe what the Bible says. What I mean is this. The Bible says that what has been done by way of deceiving the nations by Satan has been done through a thing called sorcery. And I believe what you're going to be hearing in my interview with Adam out there in D.C. is the inner workings of sorcery. It's in keeping with the scripture I gave that we are to expose these things. So I just wanted to interrupt you because there'll be some people right away that automatically, they might listen with, some fascination like a science fiction entertainment. But we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, sorcery is real. That's why the Bible really does talk about it. And that's why the children of darkness really are using it. So I probably should have given that out ahead of time, Adam. I wanted to lay that groundwork. Go back a few sentences and go on, okay?
Okay. Well, I would absolutely agree with that. And I would also tell your listeners to get a map of Washington, D.C., and after they listen to this, to listen to it again, and the points that I'm going over, connect the dots yourself, because this is basically what it is. It's simple geometry, and geometry teaches the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. And when you do this, you'll begin to see what's been created within our nation's capital. Then you have to ask yourself, why? Why is this within our nation's capital? Why have not we... Is this not in any of our history books? What is the meaning of this? And why has this been created since the foundation of this nation over the past 200 years? Because this has been done incrementally, little by little. Getting back to the heptagon, we'll start with Logan Circle. Logan Circle correlates to the... In the ancient world, the ancients saw the seven planets visible by the eye. So that would include the sun and the moon, although we don't see them as planets. The ancients did. So the seven planets were considered physical manifestations of celestial intelligences or gods that ruled over mankind. But we'll start out with Logan Circle. Logan Circle correlates to the moon, correlates to the day Monday, and the plant that correlates to Logan Circle and that heptagon would be lemon balm. Now, if those who are in the D.C. area on Independence Avenue, you have the U.S. Botanical Gardens. And that's where they're getting their plants in order to create the sorcery that they have. And if you look around the U.S. Botanical Gardens, around the top, there's a relief of the Green Man. And the Green Man is a symbol of the energies, the procreative energies of the earth, the positive, the negative, the male, female. And you see that quite a lot in the architecture around Washington, D.C. But the next circle we'll go to is DuPont Circle. And DuPont Circle correlates to the planet Saturn, which is Saturday, and its plant is Redroot. And if you look at DuPont Circle, there's two women there. One of the women is holding a globe, and around the globe is a ring. That's the planet Saturn. So it's encoded right there within the carving of DuPont Circle, within the woman holding that planet. The next circle we go to is Washington Circle, which correlates to Jupiter, which correlates to the day Thursday, and the plant is sage. Now, Washington Circle, as we talked about earlier, is the eye of a golden rectangle that exists within the street patterns of Washington, D.C. That golden rectangle was made up by Independence Avenue, First Street, Peace Street, and Potomac Street, which is in Georgetown, with the eye of that golden rectangle being Washington Circle. The next point we'll go on the heptagon is the Lincoln Memorial, which correlates to the planet Mars, which is Tuesday, and its plant is basil. Then we go to the Jefferson Memorial, which is Sunday, which planet is the sun, which day is the Sunday, and its planet is Clovis. Now, the Jefferson Memorial is interesting because it, if you follow Maryland Avenue down to the Jefferson Memorial, it will connect to the Jefferson Memorial. And Maryland Avenue correlates is the summer solstice line in Washington, D.C. I was there this past summer solstice, June 20th, and you will see the sun rising right down the line of Maryland Avenue. And if you could continue that further out, Maryland Avenue goes into National Arboretum. And National Arboretum is nothing but a sacred grove. And as you go by carrying that line further out, you come to the Capitol columns. And there's 22 of them. And those 22 columns correlate to the 22 major arcana of the tarot cards. And there's, on the pavers there, there's an interesting stone that says the illumination of these columns is provided by, then it gives the name, but that key word is illumination, because that's exactly what that Maryland line does. It illuminates that Jefferson Memorial, which correlates to the day Sunday. Then the next point would be the Hirshhorn Sculpture Gallery, which is Venus, which correlates to the day Friday, and its plant is Motherwort. Then the last point would be Mount Vernon Square, which correlates to the day Mercury, which correlates to Wednesday, and its plant is parsley. So then I think, and then each one of these points, Logan Circle, DuPont Circle, Washington Circle, Lincoln Memorial, Jefferson Memorial, the Hirshhorn Sculpture Gallery, Mount Vernon Square, and they also correlate to one of the notes of the musical scale, A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. So each point, each monument has a specific vibration or note to it. So in a casting of a spell, I suppose the vibration, the day of the week, the position of the planets, all that is important. And if you just take the time to connect these points, you'll find your heptagon, and you'll create it. Then we'll go to the seven chakras, the energy centers along the human spine. There's seven chakras right along 16th Street, and 16th Street dead ends into Pennsylvania Avenue, or that ends into the White House on Pennsylvania Avenue. If you were to continue it down, though, straight, as if the White House did not exist, you would stop right at the Jefferson Memorial. And those chakra points, the Jefferson Memorial would be the root chakra, or the base of the spine. When that Kundalini spirit, it's called, at the base of the spine, is activated. What activates it is fire. And we've seen that Maryland Avenue connects to the Jefferson Memorial, which connects to the summer solstice. So you see the summer solstice, that line of fire coming down Maryland Avenue to the Jefferson Memorial to activate that root chakra and to activate that energy that's coming up from that point. The next point of the chakra is the Jefferson Pier Stone, which is the procreative chakra. The third point, which is your zero-mile marker, which is the navel chakra. The fourth point is the White House, which is your heart chakra. The fifth point is Lafayette Park, the throat chakra. The sixth point is Scott Circle, the pituitary gland, or the brow chakra. And the last point, the seventh point, is UN16th, which is the crown chakra, which is the pineal gland. And UN16th, as we talked about in other broadcasts, is also part of the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. It is the crown chakra on the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, and it's also the apex of the Great Pyramid, as we talked about in earlier broadcasts. So you can see how all of these symbols, one overlaps the other, and it's as if it's a talisman, a protection for them. And all of these points have been anointed, by the way. And in...
Let me pause there a second. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know what he means when he says anointed, a few years ago we came out with the teaching the Bible has concerning the anointing oil. And, of course, we used it majorly for the courthouses that have all been anointed by the Masons. But when he said they've been anointed, he's been working there as a Christian soldier using that anointing oil, anointing these very spots, which I think is very important. I just wanted to make that clear. Go ahead.
Okay. And then also to activate the energies within the spine, within the chakra, there's called the breath of the moon and the breath of the sun. And as we've seen, observatory circle is the lunar symbol, and Columbus Circle or Union Station is the solar symbol. So you have the breath of the moon and the breath of the sun. And what you're doing, you're bringing the energies into a conscious balance, that serpent power, that coiled energy, that kundalini, travels up that spine, that 16th street, and it opens the chakra points to give the individual an awareness that's beyond our normal everyday awareness. And that 16th street line, that's an extremely important line. When that was laid out, there's a geological fall line there where the hard rock of the Appalachian Piedmont, the mountains there, comes across the softer sediment of the Atlantic coastline. So it creates, there's an anomaly there, which creates a geomagnetism that runs down that line of 16th Street. And you can see it at Meridian Hill Park. You can see the south end of the park is about 60 feet lower than the north end of the park. And that's because those two geological conditions are coming to a head there. Any map, any topological map of Washington, D.C., you can investigate that and find that. But that creates a geomagnetism that runs down 16th Street, that runs right into the Scott Circle, all these chakra points, the White House, right down to the Jefferson Memorial. So here you have the earth energies coming from 16th Street, coming from that geological fall line, meeting at the Jefferson Memorial. Then you have the solar energies coming down Maryland Avenue, meeting at the Jefferson Memorial. So that's what ignites those chakra points to open them up. And if those in the Washington, D.C. area, or as the inauguration comes about, you can see right in front of the north of the White House, they're setting up a stage there where the president-elect Barack Obama will be standing right in the middle of that 16th Street line. So that energy is going to be, his chakra points are going to be, and all those people coming into Washington, D.C., that are focusing their energies upon him. So you have life force energy, you have the earth energies from the earth, and then you have the solar energies from the sun. Coming up that line of 16th Street, well, that is supposed to open those chakra points and open his consciousness, and where he becomes a man-god. And then, let me see where we talked about. Oh, and then there was a particular stone in Arlington Memorial Cemetery. The very first man that was buried in Arlington Memorial Cemetery was William Christman. William Christman was from the state of Pennsylvania. Now, when you hyphenate that last name, Christman, it's Christ Man from the state of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is known as the Keystone State. And in Freemasonry, in the arch degree, I believe it is, the Keystone is a very important symbol. So is this tombstone of William Christman or Christ Man a keystone of all the sorcery that they have in Washington, D.C.? And if you take a map of Washington, D.C. and Independence Avenue, the straight segment of Independence Avenue, and run a straight edge along there, it comes close to the Ord Weitzel Gate, which is very near that tomb of William Christman, the base of the Great Pyramid that exists within Washington, D.C. Probably, if you carry it out, would go right through that grave of William Christman. Now, there's some interesting numbers associated with that grave. He's in Section 27, tomb 19, and the number 27, I broke it up. There's some interesting correlations. The sun, if you drop all those zeros, has a diameter of 864,000 miles, but drop the zeros, so it's 864. You add those numbers up, 8 plus 6 plus 4, you get 18. 8, 1 is 9. You do that, the Earth is 792. Add those numbers up. 7 plus 9 plus 2, you get 18. 8, 1 is 9. If you get the Moon, it's 216. If you add those numbers up, it's 2, 1, and 6 is 9. So that's 3 nines. That's 27. 27 is on that tomb. And also, the speed of light, if you square the speed of light, 186, the speed of light is 186,000 miles per second, but drop the zeros. So it would be 186 squared. So 186 times 186, you get 34,596. Add the 3, the 4, the 5, the 9, and the 6, and you get 27. And it seems like, this is just a feeling I'm getting here, there's a manipulation of light that's happening. There's, I can't quite explain it all, but it seems like Washington, D.C., in and of itself, there's a cryptogram, there's a whole body of knowledge that's encoded within the street patterns, within the art, within the architecture of Washington, D.C., and it's right in front of us. I don't understand it all, but it's sometimes it's mind-boggling. And we had talked about the Great Pyramid being in Washington. Do you want me to go over and give the points of the Great Pyramid again? Or
yes, I do.
Okay.
But I want to interrupt here a little bit and just tell my listening audience that yes, Adam, I want you to get to that pyramid. But before we do, let's just kind of pause here and let my audience know that the Scripture says that God is going to expose the deeds of darkness. That which is done in darkness will be made manifest in light, and He is going to use His children of light to do it. And it's being done right in this broadcast. Now, what has been done to us, according to Revelation 18, it says in verse 23, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. So I want to drive home that point again, sorcery. And I also want to make known that God has made known through prophecy that the sorcery will cease. And we are able to bring it to cessation. Stop it. I guess that would be the word. It says in Micah 5, verse 12, quote, I will cut off sorcery from your hand, and you will have fortune tellers no more. I will cut off your carved images, your sacred pillars from among you, so that you will no longer bow down to the works of your hand. I will root out your ashram from among you and destroy your cities. And I will execute vengeance and anger and wrath on the nations which have not obeyed. End the quote. Micah 5, 12 through 15. It is going to be, because he said, and we are in that time. You agree with that, Adam?
Absolutely, yes.
You know, I know Jeff and I are sitting here listening. We don't want to interrupt you because we know you're on a roll. Don't you feel that way, Jeff?
Absolutely.
But I can tell he's taking notes, and his gears and those brains of his are working. And I know a lot of people out there are, too. I happen to have in front of me right now something I want to bring out, and then I think Jeff's got a couple things, and then we'll get to the pyramid.
Okay.
But this was sent to me by one of my Acres of Diamond men. And he took it off of a website that has to do, I think it's called the Last Trumpet newsletter. Let me read it to you, okay?
Okay.
It's entitled Obama's New Age of Aquarius. On January 20th, 2009, an event is scheduled to take place, which the Wall Street Journal is calling Washington's Woodstock. The original Woodstock was the infamous rock concert that took place over three decades ago with its wild orgies, drugs, marijuana, and numerous rock bands. Now the inauguration of Barack Obama is being given the same name because of the countless rock stars and Hollywood celebrities that are planning to be there. Nightclubs are setting up tents to expand their capacity for the wild revelers. The city of Washington, D.C. is also making a special allowance and waiving the laws regarding closing times for sin businesses. Nightclubs, bars, strip joints, and other such evil establishments will be allowed to operate all night until 5 a.m. for the Obama occasion. In addition to all that, and just in time for the inauguration rock fest, the Vatican issued a full and official forgiveness to the late John Lennon, the member of the Beatles who publicly declared, "The Beatles are more famous than Jesus Christ." That statement was made by Lenin in 1966, and now, 42 years later, the Vatican decided to condone the declaration. Now, inaugurations take place on a day that is now, the inauguration takes place on a day that is of vital importance in the world of witchcraft and occultism. Astrology is the time clock of Satan and his kingdom of demons, and it is impossible to practice witchcraft without it. January 20th, the day when Obama moves into his position of power, is the very day when the sun moves into the sign of Aquarius, the 11th sign of the zodiac. The hit song called Aquarius by the Fifth Dimensions told the entire story of that day that would come, that would bring change for 1,000 years. Adolf Hitler also claimed that the Third Reich would last for 1,000 years. Officially, it lasted only 13 years and ended on the eve of Beltane, the Druid Witch New Year Sabbath. I wanted to put that out. Have you ever heard any of that stuff?
No, I have not heard that, but that makes perfect sense. I mean, you have that time clock, which is that heptagon right in Washington, D.C. That he's right on. I have no argument with that whatsoever, but I have not heard that.
Okay. Well, hey, Adam, if you don't mind, I have to jump in here for a minute. I must first commend you on your diligence here. It's very apparent.
Amen.
That you have studied this. And I'll be honest with you, some of it's very tough for me to wrap my mind around. But you made a point I want to go back to about the inauguration of President-elect Obama and how he will be standing at a specific point in which all of these chakra energies that you discuss, this life force, earth force, solar force, will come together to a point at that very spot. Am I correct in that?
Correct, yes.
Now, what I'm curious about is that the only president that's been inaugurated at that spot, or is this the...
I don't think so. I mean, because I'm going there now, I'm watching the construction that's being done. I'm seeing the platform they're putting up right on that 16th Street line. As far as I know, it could have been done before. Probably. So it would seem to me every president that maybe known or unknown, this may be happening to them known or unknown, might have gone through this. I'm not sure exactly the history of the inauguration and the protocol for it began. So that's something else I guess now you've given me to look into.
Well, and the reason I ask is the way you're presenting it is that when Mr. Obama is at this point and all these energies are coming into him, that he is going to all of a sudden become illuminated or elevated to a new level of consciousness.
Exactly.
Now, if we're discussing the transfer of energy, I'm sure that would apply to the transfer of consciousness. And if each president has been elevated or taken up to this elevated level of consciousness, could it just be a transfer from one president to another of this specific consciousness? And if so, is this consciousness, this elevated consciousness you're describing, is this the consciousness that is this an Antichrist consciousness? Is this the consciousness of the Antichrist? I mean, can you define for us what elevated consciousness Mr. Obama will achieve at this point?
Well, I would imagine, I mean, I don't know for sure because I've never gone through it, but I would imagine an awareness of not just the material realm that we live on, but a spiritual realm also, and he becomes a conduit for that spiritual realm where information is downloaded right into him. So he becomes a man-god. And I think it's occurred to me, obviously, this is going to awaken his chakra points, but that the Washington, D.C., that whole complex, it seems like they're almost trying to raise the whole planetary consciousness through that Kundalini spirit. And this is probably something, a power we had in the garden, but when Eve sinned, it was shut down from us. That power was taken away. And the occult world, I suppose, has found a way to get back in touch with that power without God or without Christ. So they become their own man-gods without God and without Christ. And this is Satan's ploy. This is his ploy that he's been using. You can become a god on your own without God. But it's falsehood. He's giving us nothing that we didn't already have before. But because of our fall,
well, Adam, I'm just trying to, like I said, I'm trying to understand it. From the way you're describing it, with the information that you've presented, it seems as though the lining up, this planetary alignment, the lining up of these energy forces via this this geometry and the layout of Washington, D.C., and the exact point that you say Mr. Obama will be standing at, almost sounds like that's opening a door to a dimension or some type of demonic possession. You've described information being downloaded to him, an awareness being downloaded to him. That sounds eerily similar to maybe Satan entering into Obama, something along those lines. What do you
think? Something like what happened with Judas Iscariot.
With Judas,
right.
Yeah. The Bible doesn't mention, it mentions that Satan came into him, but was there a ritual beforehand that opened up those chakra points within him so that could happen? We don't know.
Okay. Well, and not to change the subject too quick on you, but we started this broadcast, you were mentioning some similarities that went between the assassination of Kennedy and the assassination of Lincoln.
Right.
Some of those I actually remember learning in elementary school. Can you explain to me the significance of those similarities, why you feel they're important, and also, do we have any other examples within our government of these types of similarities between other individuals?
Well, as far as other assassinations, there are supposed to be some similarities between the MLK or Martin Luther King assassination and the Robert Kennedy assassination, but I haven't delved in that too far. I think what is going on, what I believe, the energy that was created during the Lincoln assassination, for the Kennedy assassination to have been to an excess success, you would have had to have linked the two. And they link them, it's word magic, because words create a vibration. When you say Kennedy, Lincoln, Lincoln, Kennedy, Andrew Johnson, Lyndon Johnson, I don't claim to understand it all, but I'm just going by the symbolism. And the Lincoln Memorial is connected via 23rd Street to Washington Circle. And Washington Circle is that eye of the golden rectangle in Washington, D.C., which creates a logarithmic spiral. And a logarithmic spiral, the present and the past exist. They're connected. And it seems like they're using the energies of the earth in order to create this connection between the power and past. I mean, I don't understand it all. I don't know completely how it's done. I'm certainly not a magician. I'm not privy to this information. I'm just going by the symbolism or the geometry that's being expressed in Washington, D.C., and trying to understand it, the meaning that it has for us in this time and point in the history of this nation and our people.
And we need to understand as a people that the serpent people understand what they call sacred geometry. It's in their Kabbalah, and geometry is a big part of their spell casting. Agreed?
Absolutely. The Kabbalistic Tree of Life, I mean, that exists. That's right in Washington, D.C. also. I could go over the points of that quickly if you want to.
Please do.
Okay, the apex, the Keter or the crown would be U and 16th Street, which is also the apex of the Great Pyramid. Point 2 would be Logan Circle. Point 3 would be DuPont Circle. Point 4 would be Scott Circle. Point 5 would be E Street or K Street and 13th Street. Point 6 would be 19th Street and K Street. Point 7 would be 13th Street and E Street. Point 8 would be E Street and 19th Street. And the Jefferson Pier Stone would be the ninth point, and the 10th point again would be the Jefferson Memorial. So right within the streets of Washington, D.C., using the same memorials, the same points over and over again, one overlaps the other again and again and again, they created the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. Not a cross, not a Christian cross, the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. So again, this is something not in our history books, we're supposedly a Christian nation, but our founders seem to have created within the city all these pagan and occult symbolism.
Now, Adam, if we look at this, for example, if I was looking at this on as a diagram on a sheet of paper, would it be similar to a cross shape?
I mean, to an extent, you all have an access line. You have a north, south, east, west access line. So there is a cross. There's going to be a cross that exists with it, because Washington, D.C. is laid out on the numbered streets go north, south. The lettered streets go east, west. So they make a cross. It's and the states go on a diagonal. So, yeah, I mean, you will get a cross, and there is a cross that is created within Washington, within the, if you connect the U.S. Capitol to the Lincoln Memorial and the White House to the Jefferson Memorial, you get a cross. And right in the center of that cross is that Jefferson Pier Stone, which is the ninth point on the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, which is Yesod, and that means the infusion of spirit into matter.
Now, is this cross you're describing, are the dimensions of it equal from the center point, or does it reflect that of a Christian cross, which, of course, you know, you have the a little more emphasis on the top?
It's a little more. Looking at it here, it's a bit more emphasis on the top. So it is emphasizing the spiritual world more than the material world. But if you go back and look at the 1901, 1902 Macmillan Commission, that they were going to redo the mall, and that they didn't do what they originally planned, but the way they laid out the walkways and the streets around the mall, it looks like the cross was inside a casket. And I think they didn't go, this is just a supposition of my point on myself, they didn't go with that creation or with that design, because the public would have been a little too savvy. They would have understood the symbolism of a cross within a casket. They're trying to bury Christianity. So they got rid of all those streets that would create that casket and just left a cross there.
Hmm.
It's much better. I mean, eventually this will be shown on maps, and because so much of this is so visual. Once you see it, boom, you'll see it immediately.
Well, I appreciate you answering my questions there. Like I said, you've given so much information, it's very difficult to wrap my mind around, but there were a couple of things I needed a little further clarification on.
That when the fellow was there a couple of years ago anointing with the anointing oil, the Supreme Court and these other places, he wasn't able to get to the Washington Monument because they were doing some work on it.
Right.
Has that been anointed?
Yes, it has.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Yeah, that Washington Monument is really quite interesting in itself. There's during the winter solstice, there's a shadow that's created. If you look on a map of Washington D.C., you would have to get there earlier in the morning, because the sun is low on the horizon. There's a very long shadow. That shadow connects to Virginia Avenue. And most likely that shadow is probably 925 feet long, because 925 divided by 555 gives you 1.6, or phi. And that's a very important number that reoccurs over and over.
Can you explain the significance of that number? What did you call that? Phi?
It's called phi.
P-H-I.
P-H-I, yeah.
It's worth phi. The way I understand it, the way phi is, they call it the golden number, the golden ratio, the golden mean. It is the number that connects the material world to the spiritual world. It exists within architecture, within art, within all your sacred temples.
It's,
if you look at the
quite
Ark of the Covenant,
it's quite prominent in the pyramid too.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Speaking of the pyramid, let's get back to the pyramid.
No, let's finish off one.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
With the monument, when you get that shadow from the monument, that links it to Virginia Avenue. Virginia Avenue goes up to 23rd Street, 23rd Street down to the Lincoln Memorial, then you have the reflecting pool. So what it does, once a year, during the winter solstice, it makes a link with Virginia Avenue, and you get a right triangle, which was extremely important in Egyptian symbolism, Pythagoras. You know, everyone knows that the right triangle, A squared plus B squared, gives you C squared. There's material dimension to that, but there's also a spiritual dimension, that link between the material world and the spiritual world. This link between the material and spiritual world is being made over and over again in Washington, D.C. But you wanted to get to the pyramid, the dimensions of the pyramid.
Now, before we get to the pyramid, because I do want to get there, but I've been talking to the Radio Ranch Wranglers here, and Jeff can verify this, in the last week, about energy and how our forefathers had energy and ability as they came west to do things that today, physically, we can't do. And I have been under the conviction, I think by the leading of the Holy Spirit, that what has happened is the children of darkness are parasitical in that they can drain the energy from us. And for some reason, I think some of these structures, such as the Washington Monument, are antennas that take energy from the population. What do you think of that?
I think it takes energy and transmits energy. There's a direct correlation between the Washington Monument. Again, it'd be difficult to explain over the phone because it's very visual. But there's a direct correlation between the Washington Monument, the layout of Washington, D.C. concerning the UN 16th Street, Mount Vernon Square, the Hirshhorn National Sculpture Gallery, the Jefferson Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial, and Washington Circle. And that line of 16th Street, there's a correlation there between the Washington Monument, the layout of Washington, D.C., and there's a planetary grid system called the Becker-Hagen's Planetary Grid System that was copyrighted in 1983, and it's the Unified Vector Geometry Projection Map of Becker and Hagen's. And if you look at this map correlates exactly to the layout of those monuments that I just said. So they're creating a beltway resonance that we've talked about, but also, I think, a global resonance. And also, you know, our money is all over the world. The dollar is everywhere, and that money itself carries a resonance to it. There's a golden rectangle encoded within the $1 bill, and this is how I found the golden rectangle in Washington, D.C. There's a gentleman by the name of Ken McGrath that talked about the secret geometry of the dollar. So the dollar is connected to Washington, D.C., and then the dollar goes all over the world globally. It's creating a global resonance. Look at the world we live in. How can people accept the world that we live in with the insanity that's in it? You can't even watch TV anymore.
Yes, and now this is getting to a point, ladies and gentlemen, I want to drive home. You've got to understand there's a mastermind of this, and it's Satan. And he has not been identified. We want you to know that the Bible says this is so, that we can stomp him.
Amen.
And he is a deceiver. He is beaten. He is defeated. He was destroyed when our Lord resurrected from the grave. We need not fear him. We need to be aware of him as a roaring lion seeking someone to devour and take the precautions against him. But we have, through Christ, the power over him. You agree with that, Adam?
Absolutely.
And there's very few. It's the Gideon elite out there, and some of you are there listening, even in this broadcast, that are at that position. You say, we can do it. Through Christ, we can do it. They have done a great job in casting a spell across this land. That's the only way you can. It's an enchanter. It's an enchantment. Something has taken place, and it's in the supernatural, and this is by a design that is beyond just some men getting together forming an Illuminati.
Yeah, it's beyond the physical.
Yes.
And let while you're on that point, where this all began, I started to become aware of this, I did something very simple. There was the Scottish Temple on 16th Street, the Museum and Library, 1733 16th Street. I went there to take the tour. While I was there, you go into one room, the main room, it's very large, there's a black, I guess it's black granite rectangular with the they call it the volume of sacred law. They had the Torah, the Bible, and the Quran. And while I was there, the man was giving his lecture on the tour. I simply, I, I don't know where it came over me, but I felt I had to do that. I put my feet up against the stone, and I simply said the Lord's Prayer. And from that point on, I guess I must have, something must have clicked, connected. God said, all right, you have this simple act of faith. I'm going to give you this and go with this and show this to the world. So that's really where it began. So that shows you how powerful a simple act of faith can be. I just simply said the Lord's Prayer, and that was it.
Praise the Lord. Now, how long ago was that?
That was, would have been 2 years ago.
Wow.
Because it was about a year. It was about 2 years ago.
And evidently, yeah, you've been a listener to our broadcast because you learned about the oil.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I had been a listener. I guess you could say I was a stiff-necked Israelite for at least about 8 years. And then, yeah, then I had learned about the oil. Then all this came up upon me, then it was simple to realize that, hey, dummy, you're being shown this for a reason. You need to go out and get baptized and do what needs to be done.
Hallelujah.
Praise, praise Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's get, before time gets away from us, to the pyramid, because what they really found, ladies and gentlemen, in the pyramid, we carry a book by Ray Kapp on the pyramid.
I used his books, yes.
It's excellent. And what they really found is the secrets in the pyramid have to do with geometry and measurements. And having that said, I'll turn it back to you, Adam.
Okay, well, what you would do, you would want to start out at First and Independence Avenue, and using the points, the first point would be the Capitol Dome, connect the Capitol Dome to Mount Vernon Square, Mount Vernon Square to Logan Circle, Logan Circle to U and 16th Street. That would give you one edge of the pyramid. The other side is already partly drawn for you, which is New Hampshire Avenue, which goes from U and 16th Street to DuPont Circle to Washington Circle, and just draw it all the way down till you pass Independence Avenue, although Independence Avenue ends, you would have to take Independence Avenue at First Street and Independence Avenue, that straight segment, and just draw a line all the way across, and you'll get your Great Pyramid. And the descending chamber of the Great Pyramid is Maryland Avenue. It goes all the way down to the Jefferson Memorial, which is your subterranean chamber, which we talked about also being one of the Chakwa points and one of the Kabbalistic points, Malkuth, their kingdom.
Understand, ladies and gentlemen, when he says the subterranean chamber, this is what is in the pyramid.
Correct, yes, right. the Great Pyramid.
The Great Pyramid.
What they've done, they've taken a three-dimensional object, the Great Pyramid, and put it on a two-dimensional plane, and it's the cutaway version. You're seeing the internal chambers as if you were to get a picture of the Great Pyramid and see it cut away and just seeing everything that's inside and in the outer dimensions. And we have an inauguration coming up. You know, he's going to be our pharaoh. Obama, our president-elect, will be our pharaoh. Pennsylvania Avenue is the ascending chamber of the Great Pyramid. The King's Chamber is right above the White House. And the relieving stones that make the King's Chamber are K Street, L Street, M Street. And the roof of the King's Chamber are Rhode Island Avenue between Connecticut Street and Scott Circle, and Massachusetts Avenue between Vermont Street and Scott Circle. So our president is going to take his oath from, I believe it's Marshall, I don't remember his first name, the Chief Justice, who's nothing, Chief Justice, High Priest.
Marshall Thurgood.
No, not Thurgood. No, he's deceased. I don't remember his first name. But he's going to take the oath from the high priest or chief justice to make that trek up the ascending passage of the Great Pyramid or Pennsylvania Avenue to the King's Chamber, which is the White House, and he'll become our pharaoh. His chakra points, just like in the pharaohs of old were opened during their ceremonies, his chakra points are going to be opened during this ceremony. Whoever Barack Obama is at the beginning of the day during the inauguration, at the end of the day, he will not be the same human being, if he is a human being to begin with, if he's not one of the twofolds or a son of hell. But,
well, Adam, I mean, and I understand where you're coming from there. The thing that I'm curious about is, have other presidents experienced the same thing? When George Bush was inaugurated January 20th of the year 2001, did that take place with him?
I would imagine. They've all, I think, made that trek up. I don't remember the year it actually started, this ritual that they do, going to the Capitol, taking the oath on the Bible and from the Chief Justice. It's been around, I don't think it's been around from the very inception, but it's been around, I think, through the beginning of last century for sure. And has every president known of this? Jeff, I can't answer that. I really don't know. You would have to ask them, and I don't think they're going to tell you. Maybe some have known, maybe some haven't known. I don't, and maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it's enough there just to influence their behavior to create the world that we live in today. Because America, as we've seen, I've seen in the last 40 years, has taken such a decline. I look at the neighborhoods that I live in, and you just can't believe that a society could become the way that it's become. Something is seriously wrong, and it's not just in the physical realm. But
I think we should have a pause here and just have a word of prayer.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, I'm grateful that you invited simple men, shepherds of the field, to come in and see that babe, that you called fishermen to take over the world. And I'm grateful, Lord, that you're still following the same pattern, that you've got yours out there that you call. And Heavenly Father, we come together now and we call out in the name of Jesus Christ for you to bring down their party.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord, you are a party crasher for sure. We know what you did in the days of Samson. We know what you did in the days of beer-belching Babylonian Belshazzar. Thought high and mighty he was. Now, Lord, we're going to hold you to that anointing oil. You allowed us to discover it, and that's what removes the yoke of Esau Edom from us. The anointing, unanointing oil, and Lord, now that has been applied to those places by this soldier of yours that you've got right there in the midst, the jaws of the lion. Or the bowels of Baal, whatever you want to call it, but he's been there anointing, slopping that oil around, Lord, right before their eyes. We praise you, Lord. And so now, Heavenly Father, we call in the name of Jesus Christ together. We call down the prayer power of that oil upon all their sacred spots.
Yes.
Amen.
And do your job to the glory and praise of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Bring forth your wrath and vengeance upon those that would dare to try to tap into Satan's sorcery to usurp the kingdom, the government, the rule, the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, they did it. You've given us the power to call upon you to undo it and do to them what is deserved. You are a just God. And so we say, do it. Crash their party. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 I just felt we ought to do that before the broadcast got over. We don't have a lot of broadcasting time. We got about 6 minutes left. Any points you want to make there, Adam? I think we should tell them that there is a project in work, ladies and gentlemen, not that we need more work. To have this made in a video. Don't you think that'd be a tremendous video, Jeff?
Well, absolutely, Pastor. And I think having the visual displays.
Yes.
The visual displays, yeah. It'll give it so much more meaning.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's also visual.
Well, it's definitely, it's difficult to put it all together in my mind visually because I don't know the full layout of Washington, D.C., but one thing I wanted to point out here, I did want to clarify that the current Chief Justice is Chief Justice Roberts, but you were talking about the pyramid, and basically what we're looking at is a schematic, a two-dimensional schematic of a three-dimensional object.
Exactly.
Now, exactly. I have seen information about the layout of Washington, D.C. I have seen pentagrams. I have seen Masonic compass and squares. But of all the things I've seen, I've never heard anyone describe a two-dimensional schematic of a three-dimensional object of the Great Pyramid at Giza.
The Great Pyramid, the Golden Rectangle, you have all the Platonic solids, the octahedron, the tetrahedron, which is a fire symbol. And it's interesting, you've been calling down fire, and then what do? You use fire against fire. But yeah, all of these symbols, that's the brilliance of what's been done. I mean, I'll give them that, because they've incorporated all of these symbols into the dimensions of our nation's capital, into one city. You have the icosahedron, you have the hexahedron, the square, you have the dodecahedron, or 1/12 of a dodecahedron, which is the pentagon, which is one face of a dodecahedron, and within every dodecahedron is a golden rectangle. So it's amazing.
Well, Adam, I think what the Spirit's witnessing to me here is that he's working through you, because, like I said, I've seen a certain amount of information out there, and I'm understanding now what disinformation tactics they are using. Because, like I said, you were describing things that I'm sure you could show me on paper.
Absolutely.
That you probably just aren't going to see if you go to a typical quote-unquote conspiracy site. And so I think that there's a disinfo campaign out there, and you've broken that spell.
And we're about to get out of time here, and I want to say, if you take time to go and listen to our archive Sunday sermon on January 4th called Crashing Their Party, you will find that we have imprecatory, don't pray it unless you pray that preparatory prayer first, but we have an imprecatory prayer that I think is going to, well, they've dug a pit for us, and they're falling into it. And the way God's going to bring that about is through that prayer that we prayed last Sunday. So before the time is out, I want to tell you, you can go to www.scripturesforamerica.org, go to the archive page, and listen to that January 4th, 2009 sermon called Crashing Their Party. I think as a result of this broadcast, talking to you, Adam, and what I see coming together, I'm going to bring a subsequent sermon this coming Sunday, lest the Spirit leads me otherwise, dealing with sorcery and some personal speculation of what lies right on the horizon. And isn't it just the way the Lord works? He lets them get to the very top of the pinnacle of building the Tower of Babel, and he says, "That's enough, boys."
Boom.
Amen.
I think
Amen.
That's what's coming. And I think
Amen.
You were put there to anoint like you did for a reason. Good job, comrade.
Amen.
But you're
well,
not a comrade, you're
with
a Christian soldier. Go ahead.
I said I could not have done it without your ministry. And obviously all the glory and power goes to our Christ Jesus.
Amen. He's going to bring her down.
Amen.
Fall, baby, fall. Burn, baby, burn.
Is there any time left?
Yes, go ahead.
Because there's a very important line. The Stonehenge also is incorporated in this. Also, it's the station stone rectangle. And there's two of those stones that still are standing. And those stones, Logan Circle is station stone 91, and Washington Circle is station stone 93. And I believe, I have not done this yet, but Rhode Island Avenue, if you follow that out, that is a line of azimuth that will connect to Stonehenge. So right within D.C., you have Stonehenge also there. You have the Great Pyramid. You have the Tree of Life. You have the Golden Rectangle. You have the six-pointed star, the five-pointed star. You have the heptagon, one symbol over another symbol over another symbol. And that
is amazing. We're about out of time now. Thank you, Adam.
You're quite welcome. Thank
Lord you. Jesus Christ bless you and those that are his out there listening. Bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, lift his countenance upon you, and grant you peace in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to Scriptures for America Worldwide with Pastor Peter J. Peters. Should you want to write, the address is Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Our fax number is country code 01-307-745-5914. Again, that is Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Fax number 01-307-745-5914. When writing, please let us know on which broadcast frequency you received this program. Scriptures for America Worldwide is an evangelical ministry dedicated to proclaiming the correct gospel of the kingdom of Christ and to revealing to the world the true scriptural identity of the true covenant people. The Bible says, quote, "Creation groans for the revealing of the sons of God," end quote. This ministry is supported by tithes and free will offerings. Please pray for Scriptures for America Worldwide.